Welcome to First 30, your guide to starting your job right. Brought to you by Career Protocol. Go to careerprotocol.com to download our latest, greatest free career content. There's always something new, so come by and say hi.
And Forte Foundation. The Forte Foundation is a nonprofit consortium of leading companies and top business schools working together to launch women into fulfilling, significant careers through access to business education, opportunity, and a community of successful women.
Hi, I'm Angela Guido.
And I'm Beth Connolly, and we're here to talk about starting your job right. As you may know, the first 30 days can make or break your success in a company, so we're talking you through our top tips for early success. This stuff is also really useful if you're doing a summer internship, because you don't have a lot of time to impress your coworkers, so they'll invite you back full time.
And it's a contest, because contests are fun. If you like my tip best, you can vote for me at careerprotocol.com/vote.
But don't vote for Angela, because if I win, then she has to buy me dinner.
And if I win, Beth has to buy me dinner.
Well, tally up the votes each week, and whoever wins 2 out of 3 weeks gets a free, delicious dinner. And since we're here in Florence, Italy, you know it's going to be good. We'll be sure to share pictures on our Instagram.
And we'll tell you how to vote at the end, hopefully for me.
No, for me.
Okay, welcome to the third and final episode of First 30. We're talking today about relationships. We began this series by talking about knowledge because it's more important than money in the early years of your career. The more you learn in the first 30 days on a new job, in the first years of your career, the more you can bank on that later. The more you'll be worth later, the more value you'll add, the more money you can make, and the more success you're going to have. It's all about learning. So that's why we started with knowledge. We think knowledge is absolutely essential to establishing a new job or a new career out on a successful foot. That was a really weird sentence, but let's keep going. But we're coming to relationships now because they're equally important and in direct proportion to each other. So the further you advance in your career, the more you know, the more relationships become important, because knowing something in a vacuum isn't all that valuable. People need to know that you have that information, that you have those skills, and you need to have the relationships so that people will want to hire you, they'll want to staff you on their projects, they'll want to work with you, they'll want to collaborate with you. That all comes down to relationships. And we talked about new jobs being very scary because there's a lot that you don't know. And a lot of what you don't know is the people. You don't, in most cases, you don't have a friend that you can have lunch with on day one. You don't know the political environment and how the culture works. You don't know how to get things done or who to go to when you have a question. You don't know whose toes you might step on if you, you know, volunteer to take on a stretch project. So building new relationships in a new job is really important. It's scary, but it's probably, for both of those reasons, the number one thing that people don't do enough of. I think the first two tips, you know, the first two topics of collaboration and knowledge are kind of obvious. Like, even if you've not thought a whole lot about what you're going to do on the first 30 days of your new job, you've probably thought about those things. Building relationships, not just with your managers and not just with your direct coworkers, is probably something that you haven't put a lot of attention on. And so that's why we're closing with this very important topic of building new relationships in your new job. So, Beth, tell us about a time when you built an early relationship in a new job that turned out, maybe not from day one, but eventually, to be really important to your success in that job.
Well, in my first full-time job after school, there was someone who, her role was somewhat amorphous within the firm, and my initial impression and her job title was executive assistant to the company CEO. But since it was such a small company, I later found out, much later, like 6 to 8 months later, that she pretty much like almost ran everything, made lots of decisions, and completely controlled access to the CEO. And luckily for me, she was a really nice, friendly person, and she really liked me from the beginning. And she just helped me with everything, like kind of translating how things work, giving me some tips on how to deal with the CEO, who I worked with really closely as well. And I mean, I think, again, it was my first job, so I wasn't intentionally trying to build a relationship with her, nor would I have probably even identified her at that stage in my life and understanding of her role as someone that was like a critical decision maker. And I remember even wondering like why she interviewed me. Because I interviewed with the CEO and then I had like a second interview with her. And I was like, isn't she just the assistant? Like, what is she doing that for? It was kind of like a little tip that you could, I could have used to understand how much control she really had. So yeah, I mean, later on, you know, I left the firm, she left the firm, we still have a great relationship. She's written me wonderful recommendations.
Wow.
She's a super smart lady. She, you know, went on to have job titles that are much, much more significant sounding than executive assistant and more in line with what she actually does, which is manage everything. So that was just a relationship that I was lucky enough to kind of fall into. And I always felt like she was my ally at that firm, and it was super valuable to have her as a professional friend and mentor.
Awesome. That's just like a perfect example. You said something that I just really want to highlight that's not really related to this part of the conversation, but you know, the fact that you were polite and nice to the executive assistant and that she liked you kind of in return is that's something to take note of, because when I was a recruiting manager at KPMG and at BCG, that was something we always took notes on, is how people treat the executive assistants, how people treat the people that don't seem important, because it reveals a lot about a person's character, how they, you know, it's like I think that's like a truism too. Like when you go out on a date, don't pay attention to how he treats you, pay attention to how he treats the waiter, right? Exactly. So you can, there's a deeper lesson in here, which is in general, like be polite, be kind, because you never know which relationships are going to come back and be really valuable for you. But it's also a really great illustration of taking the time to build a relationship with someone who later, you know, has been so helpful to you. That's really awesome. So what's your tip today?
So my tip today is giving people the opportunity to help you. So I think when you're starting a new job, I know that I personally, in many or most of the new jobs I started, other than the most recent one prior to this, I didn't think that much about how to build relationships with people. I thought more about delivering a really great product to them or showing them that I was like worth the money that they were paying me. You know, really like this kind of anxiety, this nervousness that I have to prove myself and prove my worth, and not thinking that it would be worth it for me to build relationships with people. And I realize now that that was just a really foolish way to go about it, because at the end of the day, the relationships are actually more or equally important to the work that you produce. Because if they don't like you or they don't like working with you, they can find someone else probably who can do what you do. Good Especially point. When you're early in your career.
Yeah, very good point.
Once you get to be an expert level 20, 30 years in, it's still important to have relationships. They might not be able to replace you as easily. But in the first 3 to 5 years, like, it's more about being a good learner, being someone who can figure things out, and being really, really fun and easy to work with. So I didn't understand that at the beginning. And I think I didn't realize how meaningful it is to other people when you let them help you. I only realize this now because I was and now am in position to help others. And it's been so rewarding for me to have someone who's 5 or 6 years younger than me and much earlier in their career come to me for help, ask me to help them with their resume, ask me to make their, ask me to make an introduction for them. or write them a reference. That's been really rewarding for me, and I never thought about this concept, which we talk about at Career Protocol a lot.
Yeah, people, we do. We talk people
want to
help
you.
Yeah,
you
they want to help.
You have to give them the opportunity to help you. So I think there's a couple of ways you can think about that when you're starting a new job or an internship. You want to think about in your first month, couple of months, well, we're really talking about 30 days. So within the first 30 days, think about identifying the people that you want to ask and think about what they could really help you with. So maybe it is, you know, taking you to a networking event with them that you don't feel comfortable going to on your own or you're not a member of the organization.
Hmm.
Maybe it's making an introduction to someone that you could learn something from. If it's an internship, it's a little bit different because you have a finite departure point. So in that case, maybe having them help you with taking a look at your resume or giving you some advice on what courses to take in your final year of school. So different things depending on where you are. But there's always something you can ask for.
Mm.
And then obviously you want to first set up a really good track record and, you know, establish yourself with a reputation as a solid worker and a competent professional. And then if it's an internship, focus in on that middle 30% of the time. So maybe the second month to make the ask before people go away or go out of town on vacation in August.
Hmm.
And if it's a job, just, you know, be aware of when the right time to ask might be. Don't wait too long.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after they help you, like, thank them, of course, and be very specific when you thank them about how they helped you.
We have a whole framework for what we call vivid appreciation, here at Career Protocol, because we really think that the way you pay back a favor is through showing really specific appreciation and letting that person know what a difference they made in your life. So,
yeah, that really, for me, when I've helped people, that has been so meaningful. And then the second part of that is, as time goes on, stay in touch. And maybe 3 months, 6 months, a year down the line and beyond, send them some emails or meet for coffee or lunch and share more about how the favor they did for you a year ago, 6 months ago, is helping you right now.
Mm.
Because it's probably paid off and paid dividends to you as time went on. And that's just really interesting to find out where someone's at, how what you did help them, continue keeping that relationship alive. Especially if you're an intern, just stay in touch, because a year you're not at the company anymore. If you go to a different job or you're back at school, you just don't fade away into the sunset and have them just kind of wondering, what's going on with that person? Why doesn't she ever contact me again?
Yeah.
But I think one thing from a managerial perspective, sometimes when I really wanted to help people, but they didn't ask for help, and you can't really offer that because
it's frustrating, right?
Yeah. It's like you just want to know that they're open to it and that they're invested in it in their own development. Mm. And you have, like, the ability to help them.
Mm.
So that frustrated me sometimes. And then the second thing that would frustrate me is if someone doesn't stay in touch after you help them. It's just this little curiosity. Like, where are they now?
Yeah.
And how valuable was my help to them?
We can't tolerate an open loop as people. This is why we watch the whole reality TV episode, even though we hate it, because we have to get to the end. We have to know how it ends. So when you help someone or when you do something for someone and then they never close the loop, it's like, what happened? It's frustrating. But you said something before that I wanted to add something to or ask a question about. Will I remember the question I wanted to ask Beth? You'll have to keep listening to find out. But while I have your attention, you know relationships matter, right? Not only will they help you succeed, but they'll help you make work much more fun. We know you get it. So come on over to careerprotocol.com/vote. You'll become a Career Protocol Insider and get all our best tips for aspiring leaders like you.
Well, I think something about this tip that occurs to me is that people might not tend to want to do this because why? Because it feels a little uncomfortable to ask someone for something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even more so when you're starting a new job.
Mm.
It maybe feels like a little bit selfish or a little bit like, you know, you're taking. And I think for the people who are listening to this podcast, that's not the case. You're not someone who's going into a job, watching Netflix all day on your computer, and then at the end of a month being like, hey, like, write me a Grey reference. Or like, hey, introduce me to this super important VIP. No. Like, if you're the person who's listening to this podcast, you're invested in yourself. You're invested in your growth. You're smart. You're capable. And you're probably working really hard to do a great job, whatever professional experience you're having.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have confidence in yourself and the value that you're adding, and people are going to respect you when you ask for a little bit of something. And it's also it's a good way to establish a relationship with someone who has a lot to offer you and has a lot of ways to help you and wants to help.
Yeah, I think the comment I was going to make earlier that I forgot about, just to close that loop, in the early days when you're trying to build relationships, you know that relationships fundamentally are about both giving and receiving. Intuitively, you know that, or you've been told that and beaten over the head with it. It's about giving and receiving, giving and taking, as if you will. I think those are two different things, but I won't get into that today. And so what do you have to give as someone in the first 30 days of a new job to the vice president who's been there for 10 years? And the answer is, what you can give him is the chance to help you grow. And this is part of what Beth is saying, is that it's really meaningful for someone to help you grow and then to watch you grow and then to see how it actually changes you. So you can build whole relationships around being a mentee, around being an eager, willing, and participatory, proactive mentee. And it's ironically the thing that will build the most trust with people senior to you, because they see your humility, they see your willingness to learn, and they get to share in your success. Mm-hmm. They really do.
Yeah.
So it's a way to keep the kind of relationship alive, even when you don't necessarily know what else you have to talk about. You can always go back to what you learned or what you're learning now, and how they can contribute to that.
It can be kind of like a good opening into a relationship when there maybe isn't that much else to build the relationship on at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then as you get to know each other better, that might arise.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a related tip about how to identify, you know, the best people to start with, giving them the chance to help you learn in a new job in the first 30?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you can kind of, as you're getting to know the people that you're working with, you want to be aware of both what they have to offer you and how receptive they are to asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know your thoughts on this question too, because this is just my take and my experience. So some people may, obviously you're going to be aware that some people have more to offer than others because they might have more experience or more expertise in what you want to learn. Maybe they clearly have a very big network that they can help introduce you to some of them. And then you're also going to have some level of understanding of who's more receptive to being asked for help. Like, who seems, if they're just drowning and super busy and swamped, probably not the best person to ask.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. How would you evaluate it?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of actually relates to my tip. So I'll say a little bit more about it when we get into my tip. But I kind of think that everyone is going to have something to offer you. If you're in the first 30 days, you're an idiot. You don't know anything about how that place works or how to get things done or possibly even how to do half of your job. And that's a good thing. Like, that's not a bad thing. So that means that everyone has something to offer you. And so the question is just what? But I agree with everything you said about look for the people who aren't underwater, you know, look for the people who seem receptive. Start with the low-hanging fruit, so to speak. Start with the people who seem willing to help, who, you know, look for the people like me and Beth, who would basically step over our own mother to help someone learn something. There's always one of us in every organization. So find that kind of person and then work your way out from there. I think that's actually a good way to do it. I think one thing I would add to this, and this actually relates to your first tip about learning objectives, which is the more circumscribed you can make the ask, the easier it is for someone to help you. So instead of just saying, you know, I need to work on my presentation skills. Can you help me? That's so vague. I have no idea where to start. And I can easily start getting into criticizing you in a way that's not constructive.
Yeah.
So instead of just looking for something general, go back to your learning objectives and think about what is it that you really want to get better at? Okay, you want to get better at presentations, but what kind of presentations are happening in this company? Well, as it turns out, I'm going to use a career protocol example. We're frequently leading webinars in which we're delivering really valuable content, and then we're presenting people with the opportunity to sign up for one of our courses. And so in that kind of environment, the stakes are you need to have really great content, you need to be really engaging, and you need to make a compelling ask. Those are three things. So pick one. Which one do you want someone's help with? Well, let's say it's you want to make your content more engaging. So how would you do that? So let's say you're making a deck. You take the deck to the person and you say, I know that you're really great at making an engaging presentation, and I want to have your eyeballs on this presentation because I want to make it as engaging as possible. Can you help me? Make it something really concrete so that they can give you something in a small amount of time and get out of there, and then you can take it and run with it. That's what I would say.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Super.
Cool. Great tip. Really good tip.
Thanks, Angela.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know what you have to say.
Yeah, cool. So it dovetails perfectly. I mean, it's funny. These tips all connect with each other. I could have just rolled right into my tip, but I wanted to have the...
Hive mind,
exactly. Exactly. This podcast series is almost over. Did you join our insiders list yet? Don't miss it. Head over to careerprotocol.com/vote now. Your career will thank you. Okay, so my tip is when you enter a new job, treat it like you're moving to a new country.
Ooh.
And I say it this way because it kind of really is a foreign country to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, as human beings, we tend to think that we're all the same. And the truth is that we actually do share 99% of our DNA with every other human being. Did you know that?
No.
Did you know that humans have 99% of our DNA in common with every other human?
No, I didn't know.
We also have like 97% of our DNA in common with houseflies. So, you know, all of life is much more the same than it is different. Mm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
But in any case, as humans, we are kind of at some level all the same, but our circumstances are vastly, right, vastly different. And so even when we speak the same language as someone else and we work in the same industry and we're about the same age, we tend to presume that when someone is talking, that they mean with their words the exact same thing that we would mean with those same words. But as I frame it that way, you can pause and think, well, wait a minute, I always just assumed that was true, but maybe not. So yeah. I think the best thing you can do for yourself when you enter a new environment of any kind, whether it be a new country or the first 30 of a new job, as we're talking about, is to really treat it with the respect and curiosity that it deserves. So I'll just give you, again, another example from my life. When I was 22 years old, I moved to South Korea. That was my very first job out of college. I had done some internships, but this was like a real deal. It was the first international flight I ever took. I did so many stupid things. Like I had a $100 check in my pocket, thinking that somehow a Korean bank was going to cash.
Why did you cash that before you left?
I know, it's so crazy. Like so many mistakes because I
wasn't. You didn't have any Korean currency.
I was actually moving to a different country and I wasn't treating it like I was moving to a different country. But there I was and I get there. And so, you know, it all worked out. I made my way to my new job and I started working. And, you know, things like where can I buy cheese? Because cheese is like not a thing in Korean cuisine. So like it took me 3 months to figure out where to buy cheese. And I love cheese, if you know anything about me. you know, I had to find a gym. I had zero friends. And over time, I built out a real network of friends. I found the one place to buy cheese. I also found the best restaurant for each little kind of Korean cuisine. I joined a great gym. You know, I found my way. But I started from nothing. And that is kind of what it's like when you start a new job. Like, the way things get done in a company, the way people communicate, the expectations that they have, the little tricks like, you know, the coffee machine on the third floor is broken, you got to go to the fourth floor. Or, you know, in the middle of the day, the ladies' bathroom on five gets swamped with students who are visiting the room across the hall. The little tricks that you learn over time, you're best to go in taking for granted that you know nothing. And so that means, to dovetail with Beth's tip, is that everyone has something to teach you. Everyone has something to teach you. So my recommendation, my way to operationalize this tip of like entering a foreign country in your new job, is to really take the time to get to know the natives. Get to know the natives. And the natives is everybody. It's not just your boss. It's not just your team. It's the executive assistant. It's the person who cleans the bathrooms. It's everyone in that environment who plays a role. And my advice is to just make this really, really concrete. So 5 people per week, you know, one a day in the first 30, take them out for coffee, take them out for lunch, or just grab 15 minutes of their time in their office and interview them, ask them questions. And ideally, you'll ask them similar questions. Questions like, so I have a few questions, specific ones to suggest. So here's a really good one. What's the secret to making things happen around here? That's a really good question, right? What advice do you have for me to be successful fast in this environment? What do you wish you had known before you started this job? And what's your favorite part of working here? That's 4 questions. And I think if you ask those 4 questions to 5 people every week for your first 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, you're going to learn so much about your job, about how the politics of the environment works, how people communicate. You're going to learn the subtle things about what doesn't work about the place. You're going to find opportunities to fix things, to do things better. You're going to know who to ask when you desperately need, you know, PowerPoint advice, you know, with 1 hour to go before a big presentation. You're going to get to know the locals just like you would if you moved to a new country and took the time to kind of ask them those more free, open-ended questions that allow you to explore the culture in a true way. And that will help you identify the right mentors to act on Beth's advice. It'll really give you a sense of who can offer what, and then how you can go about getting them to contribute to you.
No, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So how do you decide who to ask for coffee?
You know, the idea is to ask everyone, really. Just like, don't discriminate. This you're not going to work as closely with the person who, you know, cleans the building as you are with your boss. But I've befriended the cleaners, the people who clean at every office I've ever worked at, and they turn out to be some of the loveliest and most helpful people. I could tell stories about this, but I won't. So don't discriminate. Like, talk to everyone. And when you're thinking about who to ask for coffee first, make it easy on yourself. Like, ask the people that smile when you see them. You know, the people who seem open to it. Start with the people that you feel comfortable asking out for coffee. And then if there are people that you don't feel comfortable asking out for coffee or lunch, or if there's any reason why that feels like overreaching or potentially like treading a gray area for you, then don't. Just say, hey, would love to pop by your office for 15 minutes and ask you a few questions. I'm new here. It can be as simple as that. Yeah. So make it easy on yourself and start with the people who, you know, you feel comfortable talking to.
Seems like a good action plan. I'm going to have to put that to work in my next job.
Yeah, definitely. I think it also makes it much more fun because then you're like discovering and exploring. And I kind of think that it's always fun to discover. It's always fun to discover things. So this gives you the mindset that you don't have to get it right. You don't have to look good. You're just there to explore. So it's a bit more fun, I think.
Definitely. Well, that's what career protocol is all about.
Well, it's true. We are about making work more fun. Making work more fun. Do you have one more question for me, Beth?
Let's see. I like the 4 questions that you framed. I think really wanted to write those down. We're definitely going to include those in the Infinite A's little PDF guide.
Yes.
Is this something that you've done in your career? Like when you started a new job, did you ask 20 people out for coffee in the first month? Sounds a little daunting to me.
It does sound introvert. A little daunting. Yeah, I'm also an introvert.
I've actually maybe the most people that I've asked out for coffee in a month is like two.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think the one time I did act on this advice was, I'm always bringing it back to BCG. It was at BCG and we were sort of forced to. They set up this really cool program where we were actually given incentives to take the partners and the managers out to lunch. It's a really big part of the culture. They want you to get to know everybody. So we were kind of forced to do it. And we had like a little scorecard and we would like check off the partners when we had seen them.
Cool.
So that was really like
partner
more
partner speed dating.
Partner speed dating. It was just like that. So that was quite cool. But it was really just focused on upward relationships, not so much lateral relationships. So mm-hmm. So, but to point blank answer your question, I have to confess, I don't think I ever had took 20 people out to coffee in my first, 30 days. But to be fair, I've never had like a standard internship. And I only really had that one real like first job at BCG because in all my other jobs, there weren't even 20. Either there weren't 20 people to ask or I was... had already been in the environment for a while. So
I have to confess that's the case of all of my previous jobs.
Yeah.
I've never been 20 people.
Yeah. So it's a lot easier if you're in a small environment. You don't have to talk to 20 people. It's only five or six. But, but the lesson is it's simple. It's just make sure to get to know even the people kind of in the periphery that don't seem important to your job because to Beth's story and advice. You kind of need everyone's help and you just don't exactly know where it's going to come from. So be kind to everyone, get to know everyone, and it will pay dividends. It will pay dividends and it will make it easier to build relationships. So just to recap, I kind of just recapped, but my tip is imagine that you're moving to a foreign country and treat the new organization and the new culture like a foreign one and work to discover it through one-on-one conversations.
And my tip was give people the opportunity to help you. By asking them for something specific. Angela suggested that you keep it really circumscribed, which was a great addition, and then make sure to thank them afterwards and stay in touch going forward into the future and use vivid appreciation when you thank them.
Fantastic. Awesome.
So now it's time for you guys to head to careerprotocol.com/vote. Today might be the tiebreaker day.
It might be.
It's, the third episode, so we really want to get those votes in. And to reward you for your vote, we'll give you a free download when you fill out the form.
Exactly. We'll include the four questions that you can ask all the alien life forms in your new job, along with some of our other top tips for making the best of your first 30. I don't know about you, Beth, but this has been really fun.
Yeah, like, I've
really enjoyed talking about the...
And I learned a lot.
Yeah, I learned a lot too. I mean, this is really the beautiful thing about relationships and learning and collaboration. It's never ending. It's always happening right now, and you're always learning more. So thanks so much for tuning in. We really enjoyed this. We hope to talk to you at a future time. We always have more to say about all kinds of things over here at Career Protocol.
Find us online, tweet at us, find us on Instagram, let us know what you think.
And we'll see you soon.
See you later.
Bye.